Great. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Well, you're on mute, aren't you? So you can't just say good morning, but very easily. So we come today to think about finding joy in the seasons of the soul through praise. I have to say, I've struggled to write this sermon this week because I've been feeling quite kind of flat emotionally and quite blue, really. Nothing dramatic, just a touch of post-holiday blues, not really feeling very motivated to do much, finding the rather autumnal weather in August a bit depressing, the ongoing threat of COVID and its restrictions, etc., etc. And then on Thursday, our dishwasher fused all the electrics and died, and so I'm having to do lots of extra washing up at the moment. So not been a week really that I would characterise as being full of praise and joy. So you can get your violins out now, please. That'd be great. Oh, thank you, Anthony. That's great. But then I kind of think I've got so much to be thankful for, so much reason to be full of praise. I have such a blessed and privileged life in comparison to so many others. And when I think about this, does this make me feel better? Well, actually, sometimes it might, but this week it hasn't, no. In fact, all it's done is make me feel a bit guilty for feeling rather flat and blue. Perhaps I shouldn't. So what about you? How are you feeling today? I'm afraid that needs to be a rhetorical question at this stage, but perhaps later on, when we come to our sharing point, you might be able to say how you're really feeling. Today we come to the final sermon in our series of thinking about the whole range of human emotions and how we can see these expressed in the Psalms. And it's because of this, of course, that we find the Psalms so useful in helping us to pray, in enabling us to feel able to be honest about how we're feeling in our prayers to God. We know that we're exhorted to praise God in all circumstances. But I don't think this means that we have to try and pretend that all is well when it's not. Psalm 150 is very much a psalm of praise. As you know, it's the last psalm in the Psalter, and it acts as a kind of doxology, an upbeat conclusion to the whole collection of psalms. Psalm 150 reminds us that the best way of being and living is to have an attitude of praise in all of life's circumstances. This, of course, is much easier said than done. But that's no reason for us to give up. Because if we do give up trying to have that attitude, then actually we're going to miss out on gaining a life-giving perspective. We're going to miss out on discovering comfort and hope and peace in the midst of our trials and our failings. And we'll be more susceptible to going on a downward spiral of emotions in our lives. In this series, we've seen how there's a pattern in many of the other Psalms. They often start with praising God for his surpassing greatness and for God's loving kindness and mercy. Then, whatever the psalmist is feeling, whatever his emotions are at the time, start to surface. And then we start to see the real human emotions being expressed. Anger, disappointment, hurt, loss, shame, guilt, disillusionment, depression, etc. In being real, open and honest in facing and naming their negative emotions, and in being willing to face the reality of what's going on inside themselves, often the dark side of their human nature, we see the psalmists processing what they're experiencing and what they're feeling in a healthy and safe way, by bringing it to God and by trusting him with it and in it. And then having done that, of course, we find that the psalms often become much more positive again, because the psalmist is now able to return to praise and thanksgiving, having rediscovered a sense of joy, peace and connection to God. Well, Psalm 150 doesn't follow this pattern because it's entirely upbeat. And it's been said that this psalm answers four questions about praise. Where is God to be praised? Why is God to be praised? How is God to be praised? And who is to praise God? So let's quickly tease out some of the answers to these questions. where is God to be praised? Well, the psalmist says, praise God in his sanctuary, in his holy habitation. When the psalmist says this, he's not referring to a church building in any particular way. He's referring to the whole natural world. He's referring to the earth. And the psalmist is saying that we take our place with the rest of creation in giving praise and honour to God. Praise God in his sanctuary, says the psalmist, and praise him in his mighty firmament. Firmament means the heavens, the sky, space, the universe. We are to praise God on the earth and in the heavens. And so we see that praise isn't just the religious services in church. We are to praise God everywhere, in the whole of life. The whole of earth and the universe shout in praise of God. And we are called and we're destined to join in, to take our place in and with creation, giving praise and glory to God, not just with our lips, but by being and becoming all we were created to be. And why is God to be praised? The psalmist says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. We praise God because he is worthy of our praise. We praise him for his majesty, for his beauty, for his splendour. We praise him as our creator and sustainer. We praise him as our saviour and redeemer. We praise the one who loves us and calls us his friends. But we don't praise him just because he's worthy of our praise. You'll recall that the Westminster Confession says, and I apologise, this was written before inclusive language was a thing, the chief purpose of man is to worship God and to enjoy him forever. Our chief purpose is to worship God and to enjoy God forever. It's in our praise, our worship, our love and enjoyment of God that we find our fulfillment as the people we are created to be. This is about orientating the whole of our lives to being in tune with God, being aligned to God's will and purposes. If you like, going with the grain of the universe rather than trying to go against it. And then how is God to be praised? Well, the psalmist uses the image of an orchestra of instruments to symbolise how we are to praise. He talks of praising with the trumpet, lute, harp, tambourine, with dance, strings, pipe, clanging cymbals and loud crashing cymbals. In using this picture, the psalmist isn't saying that praise is just about making music. He's saying that we are to praise God with everything we've got. And in praising God with everything we've got, with the whole of life, adopting this attitude, as Andy Peck says in his notes, this becomes a wonderful antidote to the self-absorption and narcissism of our culture. So praising God becomes an antidote to the self-absorption and narcissism of our culture. And then who is to praise God? Let everything that breathes praise the Lord, says the psalmist. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Note that what is being said here isn't let every human praise the Lord, but everything that breathes. Every living thing that has breath, everything that's alive, is to be caught up in praise. You recall the prophet Isaiah, of course, captures this vision when he talks about the mountains and the hills bursting forth into song, and all the trees of the field clapping their hands. So, in conclusion, where is God to be praised? Everywhere on earth and in the heavens. Everywhere. Why is God to be praised? Because God is worthy of our praise, and because our praise connects us to God. It aligns us with God's will and purposes. Jesus spoke of the easy yoke of following him, going with the grain of the universe, and so finding life fulfilling and purposeful. rather than confusing and frustrating. How is God to be praised? With everything we've got, with the whole of our lives. And obviously we can't literally spend the whole of our lives expressing praise through words and song and music. And so we realise that actually to really praise and glorify God is to be fully alive, to be fully human. We fully praise and glorify God by being the unique person that God has created each of us to be, by being the best possible version of who we are. And in this way, we join in with the rest of creation in praising God, in enjoying God, by simply being and living in the way that God intended, delighting in God, and God delighting in us. And finally, who is to praise God? Everything and everyone, the whole created order, shouting and singing with one voice. We join with the psalmist, let everything that has breath, let everything that has life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.